If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. We're back with you here on a Tuesday. And on a Tuesday, we get a little bit more breathing room. Obviously, your Mondays and Thursday nights are loaded with wall-to-wall NFL coverage. And we're not going to leave you without NFL coverage here on a Tuesday, but we need an opportunity to zoom out, big picture. And the crew helped us put together something that we're going to be calling KW's Take 5. The topic will change week to week, but it is this week that we key in on the league's NFL MVP. Now, this is not who would be winning the MVP if the season ended today. What good does that do you? It's Darnold, okay? That's not how it goes. It's not even who I would set as the top five odds. It's the five best bets I believe you can make in the MVP market. We're going to go five to number one, and number one is where my money went in this market. At number five, Justin Fields of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fields is coming off of his most important game as the quarterback for Pittsburgh. I know it was in a loss. It doesn't matter. Over 300 passing yards, three total touchdowns. He's up to six on the year. The rushing element for Fields is important. But with Fields, as it is the case with a lot of the guys we're going to talk about here, it's about the number. If you look at Justin Fields, he's 50-1. Yet a Sam Darnold is around 10-1. And I'm not telling you that Fields is as good as Darnold, but you would tell me that Fields can't win this award. We don't view Justin Fields as an MVP candidate. We don't think Darnold is one either. The biggest reason Darnold has crept into the territory that he's at right now is because the Vikings are 4-0. Steelers only have one less loss. If you look at their upcoming four games, they might be favored in all of them. They're favored on Sunday night against Dallas. They'll be favored for a trip to Vegas, and then they will, in consecutive weeks, host two New York teams in the Jets and the Giants. If Justin Fields is 6-2 and keeps on getting better, that 50-1 number is a great ticket to be holding, and I think it's one of the five best bets you can place. At number four, at 200-1, it's Tua Tagovailoa. Now, this is a very unique case, but this is why you need a bomb price to get involved with. Let's take a look at what we've seen from Miami Dolphins in his absence. Nothing. They can't do anything, it feels. They've scored one touchdown in two games, and the Huntley rushing score was in garbage time. When Tua is under center for this offense, he leads the NFL in passing yards. Taylor Huntley had a full game against Tennessee and threw for 100. Tua Tagovailoa has seen his value to Miami quadruple in his. Now, the record would still need to be good. He's going to have to make the playoffs. But if Tua can get this team to the playoffs at 9-8, combine the story, he might be a part of the conversation. And at 200-1, it's the type of lotto ticket I cannot knock. I think it's the fourth bet you can make. Now, Fields and Tua are more long shots. The remaining three names are much further up the board, including the guy with the third best odds, who I think is the third best bet. and that is CJ Stroud of the Houston Texans. Again, the number at 10-1 is surprising for me, because when you compare it to Josh Allen's plus 350, something's missing here. Josh has been better than CJ, 100%. Josh has a legitimate argument that he's been the best quarterback in football so far this season. But we're still seeing Stroud throw for big-time yardage. He has 6 touchdowns up on the board already this year. And those 2 interceptions both came against Minnesota. Just like last year, Stroud is doing an excellent job of protecting the football. But this is also about timing. CJ Stroud, Josh Allen, and the Buffalo Bills this week. Arguably the best game on the slate this Sunday. And if Stroud outduels Josh, and more importantly, puts up a win, then you're going to see this number cut in half. He probably jumps Josh Allen in the market. And you're just looking for CJ to win a home game. That's a round pick. And we're talking about the number. Record. It matters so much to this award. A win for CJ would have the Texans sat at 4-1. And the only team in the AFC they could possibly be looking up at would be the Kansas City Chiefs. It would hand Buffalo a second loss. Baltimore already has multiple losses. Same story with the New York Jets. Just when you talk about the other teams that are shifted near the top of the market within this conference. CJ Stroud at 10-1, if you want to get in and you believe they beat the Buffalo Bills, the time is now. I think he's the third best bet you can make. The second best bet is something that will come as a surprise if you've heard me talk about Patrick Mahomes' status in this market. I've said that Pat's number makes mostly no sense. Pat Mahomes has not been all that good. There isn't a category you can find where he is checking in as one of the 10 best quarterbacks in football. 6 passing touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's a turnover machine. At plus 300, he's the favorite. So how could Patrick Mahomes be the second best bet you make? Because Pat Mahomes, despite not playing well, is getting all of the credit. And this is voted on. Not by me, not by you, but by people that want to give Patrick Mahomes all the credit. It would make a lot more sense to me if Andy Reid's number was shorter in this market. But the Chiefs now have a win total of 13.5. If Pat Mahomes this year wins 14, 15 games, how is anybody really supposed to compete with that? And the biggest thing that's made me shift my opinion on Pat Mahomes in this market and almost made him the best bet is now all of the injuries will justify his poor numbers, underwhelming at minimum. No Rashee Rice, no Hollywood Brown, no Isaiah Pacheco, wash Travis Kelce. Now if we finish this year and Mahomes throws for 22 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, people will say, yeah, but he just found a way. And that's ultimately all that he'll need to cash what is still a plus 300 number, which is nearly double the price of the Chiefs to have the best record in football. Something to keep your eyes on. But he's not the best bet in the market for me. The best bet? Here we go again. MV Purdy. At 18-1, there is no better MVP bet than you can make than Brock Purdy, and it is the bet that I made today. First of all, if we take it and compare it to the Niners' chances to have the best record in football, it's a little bit longer. And if the Niners do that, he's going to have a great chance. He has the second most passing yards right now in the league. He has the second best quarterback rating in the entire NFL by Pro Football Focus. He ranks top 6 in passer rating and QBR. And also, his biggest roadblock in winning this award is gone in Christian McCaffrey. Because we constantly had to have this debate if the running back was more important than the quarterback, despite the fact that everybody should know better. Jordan Mason stepped in and has been one of the best backs in football. So with that gone and the fact that this team's been injured this year, Brock will be getting even more credit. And he is playing better, but it is also the timing. A perfect 3-game run to make Brock Purdy the MVP favorite if he can go 3-0. On deck, Arizona at home, maybe the worst defense in football. He lights them up, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. This number shrinks. Then they play a primetime Thursday nighter in Seattle. If they win, they comfortably take control back of the NFC West. Boom, that number moves again. And then finally, a mini bye where they will host the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. And if the Niners can win that game, Brock Purdy, in 3 weeks' time, will be once again the favorite to win NFL MVP. And at 18-1 is the best bet you can make in that market. We'll talk to Brady Cannon next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. Runs a plenty, thank goodness. Even if it's not going to win me any money, I need to see some runs scored in this baseball postseason. The Mets have done a lot of it now. 8 runs up on Milwaukee as they lead 8-4. We're joined by Brady Cannon. We're going to talk some football, but Brady, I know. Listen, you're a man of the board. You'll get involved in some different places. Are you invested anywhere in the baseball postseason?
Yeah, I just did some funny money parlays today just for entertainment. And I played basically all of the teams that were being relatively faded by the public. I was going against the grain. If there was a large percentage of tickets and what have you on one side, I tried to go the other way. I almost got there. I had the Royals in a two-teamer with the Houston Astros earlier today. It looked like the Astros might. I mean, that hit by Jason Hayward at the very end. Wow, that could have broken that game open. But that one wasn't to be. And in the later half of the games, I went with the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. So we'll see if that one comes through. Part of me's rooting for the Padres, though. I've got a future on the Padres to win the National League pennant.
All right. Listen, I think a lot of people have been able to clip that good Padres number. We'll see if they can come in. But Brady, we get to now do something that we've kind of found ourselves with a little bit of a routine doing here on these Tuesdays, and it's look-aheads. And I've been waiting 2 days now to ask you about it, one specific game, because the same exercise you go through, I've been going through, and this is the wrongest I've been this year about where a number would be. And for me, I get excited about that. So I'm curious, Brady, when you saw Bears-Panthers, what did you think that number would be, and what do you make of Chicago in week 5 as a 3.5-point favorite against Carolina?
Well, I tell you what, I made the number 3, and I was able – there's a lot of 4s out there. And yeah, one of the first things I did today, after I got through that whole exercise there, Kevin, and I saw the discrepancy, and there's also a situation I really love that I'll get to in just a minute – I bet the Carolina Panthers plus 4. There's a lot of 4s out there, and there are 3.5s like you reference as well. Certainly, I think from the screen I'm looking at, maybe 3 or 4, 3.5s, and the rest, the majority is 4. I made the number 3. I think you could make a case that it should be 2.5. But the situation I was referring to is teams that are 1-3 coming off of a loss facing a team that is coming off of a win have a very high percentage of covering the spread in that game. I want to say it's about 66% of the time. And of course, Carolina is indeed 1-3 coming off of a loss facing a team that is coming off of a win in the Chicago Bears. So when I saw the discrepancy in my number, albeit not a lot, although there is a pretty significant difference between a 3 and a 4, I am, you know, with that difference combined with that situation, I ran to the window.
So it's so funny, man. The one thing that's a little different about, I think maybe how I do it, is I try and use what the book did last week to figure out what they'll do this week. So it's less my number and more what I think they'll do and then figure out the reactions. And Brady, I swear, I thought this was going to be 7. I thought the Bears were going to be a touchdown favorite in this game. And I'm trying to figure out where I am not seeing what they're seeing. Because Cincinnati just laid 5.5 in Carolina. I, through 4 weeks of football, do not view the Bengals as markedly better than the Chicago Bears. if better at all, and we've gone from Carolina hosting to Chicago hosting. So I can even ask you, Brady, like, did you find that 5.5 number way wrong last week? Is it just a spot thing? I cannot understand how we've gone from Carolina catching 5.5 in their own building against the Bengals to 3.5 in Chicago.
Well, I tell you, last week I made the Bengals a 5-point favorite, and I think that one opened up at 3.5 or 4. I didn't bet it until it was 4 or 4.5. It did go up. And then I think by game time, it was, you know, I think it closed at 5 or 5.5. So my original number was correct there. I think the Bengals are a slightly above average team. Certainly their offense is pretty good, but they do have some issues on defense. They're injured on defense as well, especially in the front seven. They have some holes there. Chicago is not very good, Kevin. You know, look at week one. The Titans really annihilated them and just made a couple of mistakes and handed them the game. The Texans should have annihilated the Bears, but somehow could not put their foot down on that team. And I think that's a weakness that the Houston Texans have. And then you're looking at, I'm trying to remember their next game. Okay, last week Colts. Was the Rams. Okay, the Colts. I thought they should have won that game. I thought they were going to win that game, and they were not good at all in that game, and neither were the Colts. And then last week they catch a Rams team that is not only incredibly beaten up, but just came off of a huge emotional win over their rival 49ers, where they just spent a ton of energy, and the Bears kind of had that fall into the palm of their hand. I don't think the Bears are that great. And I don't think Carolina's that great either. I bet against them last week. And I was on them against the Raiders. So far I have Carolina pretty well figured out the last couple of weeks. I think I have a fairly good, you know, line on the Bears as well. And, you know, you're a 3-point advantage at home. You're basically saying that the Bears are probably about 1.5 or 2 points better than Carolina. You throw in a point or 1.5, maybe even 2 points for Soldier Field, depending on where you fall on that home field advantage. But, you know, I think somewhere between 3 and 4 makes sense to me. I landed on 3.
Yeah, I think what I realized is I'm higher on Chicago, lower on Cincinnati, lower on Carolina. Like, there's a million things that have to happen for me to be that. The funny part of it is, Brady, my initial thought was, I'd like to be able to bet Carolina here, because I agree, I thought it was a decent Panthers spot. So, again, it was a stunning, stunning thing. And I know that that's a lot of time I just took up to talk Bears, Panthers, but it gives people insight into what goes into this stuff for people who are betting NFL sides on a weekly basis there. I really thought Caleb Williams might have got injured when I first saw the 3.5, which obviously isn't the case, Brady.
Well, I tell you what, this time of the year, I mean, we're only through 4 weeks. This is a good time to now start to dive into the numbers, because the numbers have some validity at this point in the year. And then you can kind of adjust your power ratings from there. So maybe if you run through the stats a little bit, you'll kind of see where maybe these two teams truly stand.
Yeah. All right. We're going to ask Brady about a few more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With you here on Game Time Decisions, and some decisions I know for a lot of you out there will be made on Tuesday, maybe even yesterday, for your Week 5 lines. And that's why we have Brady here to get a read on some of these early numbers here. So, Brady, let me throw it to you. Again, I chewed up a lot of time on Bears-Panthers. What are some games that have really caught your eye for Week 5?
Well, I go back to that situation. Put that on my little piece of scratch paper here. First thing, 1 in 3 teams off of a loss, playing a team that is off of a win. Very good situation in Week 4. And you've got 3 situations. The Panthers, we already talked about, catching 4 points against the Bears. The Browns getting 3.5 against the Commanders. Now, this one went against my number. I made the Commanders a 5-point favorite, and I said, whoa, maybe I'm drinking a little too much Jaden Daniels Kool-Aid here, because the odds makers were a lot lower on that one than I expected. And I understand it. I think Cleveland is better than what we've seen the last couple of weeks. They're really banged up. If they get healthier this week, that's going to make a big difference. They're really injured across that offensive line, and that is typically one of this team's biggest strengths. And then the other situation that I already bet as well was the Arizona Cardinals getting 7.5 on the road at San Francisco. I made that number 5, Kevin. So a 1.5 difference there for me. I thought 7.5 was a really good number in a division game. I think the Cardinals are a lot better than we saw last week. And San Francisco, by the way, has a Thursday division game, 2 straight division games in a row. Next week, they will take on Seattle in Thursday night football. And that game before a Thursday nighter can be a tough spot. So I'm happy to have 7.5 with the Cardinals in that one.
Do you think that that's a case of you being higher on Arizona than the market or lower on San Fran?
You know, I think I'm typically harder on the 49ers than the market is. Last week, I was way off on their line. I made the Niners a 7-point favorite when they opened up, you know, 10 or 10 and a half. I was really off. I think I'm more accurate on this one. 7.5, it just seems like a lot in a division game. Again, with that Thursday night contest on deck, I understand San Francisco's getting healthier, but I don't believe that was a great representation. I was very surprised by Arizona not basically just trading scores with Washington last week. I thought that that game could very easily become a shootout because they're very similar. They have similar quarterbacks, the mobility, the arm strength, the accuracy, you know, the running game, and not a whole lot of defense. And obviously Washington did their part, but I was really surprised to see Arizona just lay an egg offensively.
One number that I'm going to be really interested to see how it moves, Brady, is the Seahawks-Giants number. If Malik Nabers misses that game with concussion, like, I think that should move the line more than if they went from Daniel Jones to Drew Lock. I think Nabers is more valuable. I know it's quarterback versus wide receiver. I think Nabers is more valuable to that team than Daniel Jones is.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, but I don't know if he's more valuable to the point spread. Okay, and there's a difference there. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Malik Nabers is probably the best football player on that team. But he doesn't, you know, he's not holding the reins of the horse. He's not driving the car. The quarterback's driving the car. So he's probably worth more to the point spread. And what is Daniel Jones versus Drew Lock? I'm not sure. You know, is it 2 points, 3 points, 4 points? An odds maker could certainly tell you that better than I could. But I don't disagree with you about Nabers, but it's probably not going to change the point spread as much, if you know what I mean.
So here's what I will say, and I think everything that Brady said is absolutely true, but what allows me, and maybe I'm stubborn, is I still believe that Nabers is more valuable to the point spread, and that is what will get me to bet Seattle if this thing is under a touchdown and Nabers doesn't play.
What did you make that game, by the way?
So, again, it was kind of one of those things where I'm, you know, moving it across how they laid the Giants number out against Dallas. 4.5 at home. You kind of move it through home field advantage. This is how I do it, Brady, the spread math and stuff like that, which means Dallas would have been at laying with everyone healthy 7.5, 8 points to that team last week. I think Dallas grades out a little bit better than Seattle, but then if all of a sudden Nabers is out, to me, I think Seattle should be a touchdown plus if Nabers misses the game. And I'm not sure they'll move it.
I wasn't even considering Nabers, Jones, Lock, whatever. I just made the number based on, you know, everything being as is and healthy and what have you. I made Seattle 8.
Yeah.
And it opened up 6. So that's another one I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Again, just and look, I know he's a rookie. Over 33% of Daniel Jones's targets are going to Malik Nabers so far this season. All but
that's
one of his passing
problem.
Touchdowns.
You know, kind of tells you a lot about that team, too.
Yes, it certainly does, Brady. I fully agree. Appreciate it. As always, we've got the Consig Dave Sharapan on deck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. I just tossed a little mini sizzle in for the WNBA game that is upcoming with the Aces and the Liberty because there are some odds boosts out there for the folks who would like it. Simple 24 Aja Wilson, and then 10 points for Jonquel Jones and Jackie Young is what I'm going with there. That started at plus 110, took it up a little bit, plus 138. I like where all of those players are lined up for that game tonight for what should really be a good one in New York. Obviously, massive implications there. Aces try and grab a road victory to even that up before it goes back to the desert. Updates on your live baseball board right now. 8-4, the Mets are still up on the Milwaukee Brewers, which we know is going to lead to some shifts in your outright markets. The NL markets have seen the Brewers plummet to 21-1 right now. Mets holding at plus 750. We think about the damage that has been done today in the American League. And the Yankees and Guardians untouched, of course. They've not played. Well, the Yankees actually have dropped a tick. And that's due to the two pregame favorites losing both of those games. The Astros down to plus 750. The Baltimore Orioles are down to plus 850. The Royals right now have jumped up 7-1, and the Detroit Tigers are now at plus 650. To help us break it all down, that is the Consig. That is Dave Sharapan. Dave, the baseball playoffs are underway.
I know you're excited. I'm excited. This is so much fun. This week is a blast. We get day baseball all day today, all day tomorrow. I mean, it's breakfast time baseball in Vegas. It's fun, man. There's a lot going on, K-Dub. Dogs. I mean, I had to get the Braves stuff out for today. Nobody
Here we
thinks
go
the,
again.
The Braves might as well not even have gone to San Diego.
I'll just tell you this. Here we go again. Baseball playoffs. This is usually the time of year me and you go back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. Dave, we're going to go 4-0 dogs. 4-0 dogs. 4-0. I mean, Dave. No. It's not about that. It's about all of a sudden, for some reason, the baseball playoffs start. And apparently, if you were worse than your opponent all season long, that's a good thing. Apparently, the best thing you can be is not as good as the team you're playing. I don't understand, Dave.
Welcome to the randomness of baseball. This exists 162 games a year.
Why do we play 162 if this is what's going to happen? I mean, let's go single elimination. Let's copy March Madness. What are we doing? What's the point?
Listen, you might be onto something with this. It doesn't seem fair to play 162, then have to play two extra games the day before your playoff life exists, you know, or ceases to exist. I mean, them throwing them two in a doubleheader on Monday. I mean, I don't know. We were talking about Monday Night Football and two horrific games. Well, I mean, the one game was okay. But, you know, they threw them in there, and that was one of the easiest bets ever. As soon as the Mets won, you bet the Braves in a second game, even without Sale. Now, apparently, Sale's not going to even pitch this wild card series. I don't want to think it's all four dogs today, K-Dub. I don't think so. I'm trying my best to represent for the books and put the Braves stuff on, but trying to keep a straight face. Come on.
If it's four dogs, right, all good. I am now going to say this for the third time on today's show.
Okay.
The NLCS is missing both the Dodgers and the Phillies.
Oh, boy.
Like last year, we did not see the Dodgers and the Braves, both of them. They have to change the format. There's no longer a debate, because it will be the second year in a row that the two teams that spent the entire year as the best team in the league end up not in the Champions Series. The evidence will be too strong. The evidence will be too strong that the buys are a detriment. Can't have it. You can't keep doing this.
Well, the Dodgers needed to buy more than any team. Whether they needed a rest or not is not even a debate. They don't have pitching. They have to be off. Their offense will be their offense regardless whether they sit for a week or not. They have to. I mean, they get 5 days off. They played Sunday. They're going to play Saturday night. Shohei needs to play a series right after. Shorten it to 154 and play five-game series to start. Play 154 for the regular season. Play a five-game series. These three-game series are life and death.
What's going to happen? Listen, here's what will happen. And this is going to happen probably regardless anyway. Uh-huh. They're going to add two more teams
No.
In both leagues. Yes.
Hit a playoffs?
And everybody's going to play in the wild card round. That's what's going to happen. Dave, 16 out of 30 making it is the exact same as the NBA. NFL sends 14 out of 32. This NHL sent what? NHL sends 16 out of 30?
Correct.
So what are we doing? Baseball's just going to play catch up. That's all. Who's going to say no? Who's going to say no? Yanks get home revenue now for the postseason they didn't know they were going to get. Twins end up in the playoffs. Diamondbacks, oh my gosh, look at this. Wow. No one's going to say no. It's coming anyway.
Who's going to say no? I don't know. That's a good question. I really don't know. Maybe Sam. Sam will say no because Nationals still won't get in.
Wow. All year. That is a season-long setup of favorable Nationals comments. No, listen, I've always said Dave Sharapan needs more segments and more airtime talking Washington Nationals. That is a beautiful breakdown there. And I absolutely love it, Dave. That was wonderful. I'm super pumped up about that. People think it's a bit, but I'm not. I'm almost losing my train of thought about how happy I am that the Nats caught one on air. That if it was me, it wouldn't have stung as hard. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
That was a sneak
attack.
I mean,
we're always paying attention. There's people driving every day that text me and said, "Are you going to be on with K-Dub on Tuesday?" Yes.
That's right.
Can you please mention that the Nationals didn't make the playoffs? Yes. That's a two-team parlay. I mean, we just hit it out of the park. Who will say no to more teams in the baseball playoffs? The TV people won't. The league won't. The teams won't. The weather people might, because they're going to be playing in the snow if they add more games and they have to play into November in some cities. But other than that, I don't know. I don't think anybody will. I mean, the bookies won't. The sports books won't. The bettors won't. We'll get more meaningful, high-leverage baseball, which is what everybody wants. You know, give me more stuff in October. Can we get more stuff in October? Because we got the W. We got playoffs in the W. We got college football heating up, coming off one of the best games I've seen in the last decade, Alabama, Georgia, right? You got NFL. Well, I can't explain the NFL. I mean, really, there's no explanation. There's more backup quarterbacks playing. Yes, no. We got hockey getting ready to start. I know you're a hockey guy. You're excited about that. Yep. And NBA on the cusp of starting. Media day. I don't know. Pile some more on. We could use some more stuff in October.
Yeah, bring it all in. Let me ask you quickly, Dave, just because people are going to be there's some big picture stuff I want to get with you, some futures that I was able to jump in on, college and pro, different things. You mentioned the books tonight likely need Atlanta. What type of action are we looking at? The W tonight, two games. Any thoughts on those quickly?
We had JY on BVB, and he came on and made a very good case for the Liberty. And people out here in Vegas are not used to losing when it comes to these aces. And, they got punched in the mouth in game one a little bit.
Yep.
And as far as handle, it's going to flow a little bit into the night, you know, as this game's getting ready to tip and everything else. It's going to be a blip as far as the big scheme of things. October, we had President's Cup last weekend. The easiest minus 250 bet in the history of the last decade. Tonight, I think the Liberty win.
All right. Consig's rolling with the Liberty. Let's see if he's rolling with some tickets that I've placed here. We'll find out with you on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on Sports Grid, we're following the live action. The Aces up early on the Liberty. We have the Mets up right now on Milwaukee. We also have to take the chance to bring in some big picture items. And Dave, you and I have not had a chance to talk too much college football this year. But I'm excited to tell you that I placed a national title future. Now, I want to ask you about a theory. Okay, by the way, new top 25 was released. Mm-hmm. Alabama's up to number one in the country. Georgia doesn't fall too far coming off of their incredible game. But Dave, there's something that I've been doing throughout the college football season that I really like as a strategy, and I think it's something that is very 2024, right?
Oh,
it's not something that 10 years ago people were doing, but I like to use my free bets to get involved. Because when you lay out, right, in a national title market, you have to weigh, all right, I risk this on this group, this on this team, to make sure that you can come out profitable.
Yes.
With these free bets that a lot of these sports books are using, again, you don't want to go crazy. You're not just going to click the top five teams, but you'll have an opportunity, I think, to add to your positions a little bit more with those free bet wagers. And that's the way I've played a lot of the national championship market so far in college football.
I like it. Yeah, there was no of this 10 years ago because there was no sports books anywhere except Vegas or the offshore world 10 years ago. So you didn't have this opportunity. I like what you're doing there. That's fine. Use them, spray them all over. Just, I mean, are they going to get in the 12? That's all I need to know. If you're putting somebody out there, they better get to the 12 because right. That's all we're worried about right now in college football. Just get me to the 12. Texas is going to be there, obviously. But, I mean, Georgia and Alabama, I feel like that was round one of at least a two-round fight, maybe three. So getting Georgia after they lose, probably a good idea. I'm just looking at the list right now thinking,
well, Dave,
you're already
let me stop
involved
you there.
With Miami. And I don't know who this could be. Don't tell me you did Penn State. Do not
No. Dave. You're on it today. Don't overthink it. Georgia has been clicked.
There you
and
go.
And here's the thing I'll tell people about whether you should click the plus 550 number or not. I potentially would wait until the Texas game plays out. I went in-game. Dave, they jumped to 9-1 to win the title during that game against Bama. So that's the number that I'm now holding on the Georgia Bulldogs. I feel great about, look, they don't deserve to be number one in an AP poll. And I wouldn't know if I would put them at number one in an outright market because they're more vulnerable if something goes wrong than your Ohio States and Texas's. But pure numbers, I still think that Georgia is the best team in college football, so I'm very happy to be holding them at 9-1.
I like the way you're thinking. That's exactly. You should go get that price. That price during the end game was, I mean, people were putting them out to pasture like they weren't even going to make the 12 when they were losing, and they were getting smoked. But they walked into a bee's nest. That was the hornet's nest. That was exactly what Alabama had set up, wanted, and it went perfectly at the beginning. But with 2 minutes to go, Georgia came back on the road. So, I mean, at a neutral, we talked about it. I talked about it with a couple of my odds maker buddies. Georgia's still favored on a neutral.
They were favored in Bama. Georgia, when they took the lead, went back to the national title favorite? Like, that's how much that thing was bouncing around?
Well, one of the cool things about the legalization of sports books is the willingness of some to leave up the futures during the games and adjust it on the fly.
Yep.
And I can tell you, they don't have a clue how to price them while they're doing it. It's really hard to do. Like,
yeah.
And the willingness to leave it up and to let some prices float out there, you're at an advantage if you live in a state where that's an option because you're seeing prices that simply won't exist or shouldn't exist after the game or the next day when somebody has some time to sleep on it or price it out and look at what the matchups are. Kato, I like what you're doing. I mean, you're building quite the portfolio for this, the 12.
It's funny how it works, but I swear, listen, again, he never knows I'm honest. Preseason, I broke down Bama, Georgia to the degree that you could, right? And said, and I knew I liked Bama in the game. And a preseason plan was to bet Georgia to win the title if they lose to Bama. So that couldn't have worked any better. That was right. And here's what I'll tell everybody. I think Oregon beats Ohio State. I don't think they're as good as Ohio State in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
And I'm going to be looking to bet Ohio State to win the Big Ten following that loss if they lose that game. That is because I'm not going to go to Ohio State for the title. Basically, if Georgia would have beat Bama, I might have not bet Georgia, and then I maybe would have waited for Ohio State to lose to Oregon and gone that way with a title, right?
Okay.
But I think the Ducks are in a much better spot. Ohio State's playing Iowa. That's a more of a rival. We know how those games can be physical. Ducks at home, little extra rest playing on a Friday night. Michigan State, I think they can light that team up. No travel. So I think the Ducks can get that game, but I don't think it means they're better than the Buckeyes. And now, Dave, all of a sudden, a Big Ten number on Ohio State that's plus 100, Oregon's plus 250, you might be able to clip 2-1, plus 250 on the Buckeyes.
See, this is a plan. I like when you come at stuff with a plan. This sounds like a plan. And I think using the free bets on the plan, we're going to call this the K-Dub plan for the 12. I mean, you're going to end up with some really good prices on some teams in some positions that you're going to 100% be able to work off of. That's kind of what you do in the book. I mean, that's just, you know, you're sitting in the risk room. You're kind of just building your positions. And when you get it right, you go all in a little bit. You push, you shove a little more. That's good. How many teams get in from the Big Ten as of today? Three?
More. I'll just say that. Over. We're going to get Dave out of here with an NFL MVP question.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. We're closing it out with you on a Tuesday. We've got Dave Sharapan with us before he heads over to In-Game Live. Where they will be following the final outs of Brewers-Mets. Of course, full in-game coverage of Padres-Braves, as well as the WNBA playoffs right now with the Las Vegas Aces up early on the New York Liberty, a 27-22 lead at the end of that opening quarter. We've seen that number right now go to pick. Now, Dave, before you get out of here, today we introduce a little new segment. It's right up your alley, little KW's Take Five. All right?
Oh, all right.
Going into the markets, my five, what I believe are the five best bets you can make for NFL MVP. Now, I only placed one bet, but I think if you don't like my top guy, who I bet, I think these are the five best bets that you can make. Dave, one of the names... Well, the name you will be familiar with, because last year you were well aware of the rooting interest that was had. You'll also be pleasantly surprised to see another. Can we show Dave what I believe are the five best bets you can make in the NFL MVP market? And then, Dave, I'd love your thoughts and reaction to those five guys that we have. And, of course, the odds are always important.
What?
What do we think, Dave?
Is that a Steeler emblem down there?
Yeah, it sure is.
What? Oh, my goodness. Wait, hold on. Is that a Tua?
Gosh, 200-1, Dave. 200-1.
Who put him on this list?
I did.
What?
You don't think it's a good number, 200-1?
Tua?
I think his value to the Dolphins is quadrupled in his absence.
Well, I mean, I think if you're measuring it in the value, I think he's the most valuable player in the history of the league. They can't, they're going to win another game if he don't come back. There's no chance. They're in big trouble. I'm impressed you put the Fields on there, though. That kind of just warmed my heart a little bit. But I think you got it right at the top. Those three. I mean, those are four and five are angle shooters. Those are bombs. Those are you're throwing out there big numbers just to have that big number to brag about, and then you throw that one in the can at the end of the year. That's fine.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. But those three, isn't the MVP coming from one of those three? I mean, who else is it? Is it Josh Allen? The price isn't good.
I would say if you wanted me to, let's Lamar? See, how many guys can you really convince Lamar. Me? Allen? No, I think Lamar's out. Goff?
He's out?
Lamar's out. Come on. They're not going to give it to him.
Already?
They're not going to give him a third. That'd be crazy.
What if they go on and win 10 more games?
Here's the
one seed again.
So that's why I don't think Mahomes has played well. The reason Mahomes to me is the second best bet you can make. The win total is 13.5. I mean, I think it's three wins higher than the next closest team in the market right now. Maybe two more than Detroit. The expectations for the Chiefs, they go 14-3, 15-2. Mahomes is going to get all the credit. And it doesn't matter if he should or shouldn't. Because I'll tell you, right. I don't really think he should. Like Andy Reid's 35-1 to win Coach of the Year. We should be hitting that number. I'm not wasting my time. I've not seen voters go that angle with it.
They're not going to give it to him. You're right. I think you're – so it's as much to get in the number, one. It's number two, it's the narrative. But three, the most important thing is they're not going to vote for him. They're just not.
Yeah.
So at some point, that maybe has to go one or two rather than three if you're going to bring that discussion up. I love this. Are you going to update this every week, this five?
We're going to do different things. The plan is every week. Won't always be MVP. Because I'm not going to – Dave, I'm not going to – I bet Brock Purdy at 18-1. I think it's a good number. If he wins his next three games – here's what I'm telling people, and I, of course, fully believe this. If Brock Purdy wins his next three games, I believe he will be the MVP favorite at the end of the third game. The third game is against the Kansas City Chiefs at home off a mini bye. I believe he goes to the league's MVP favorite if he wins that game. Hit the roadblock's gone. McCaffrey's gone. So now he gets all the credit.
That's it. That's it. He gets it on a team.
There we go.
To win this thing, it's really hard to win a split vote. So, well done. I love it. Braves got a shot tonight, K-Dub? I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm also rooting it, so maybe don't go wild. Listen, I'll throw you guys a sizzle as you get out of here. Aja Wilson, 10 points in the second quarter, plus 600. It's worth a shot. She's only scored 2 points. They're going to feed her the basketball in quarter number two. They're up five. Everybody else has been helping. She's going to have to carry them into the second half here, plus 600. Keep your eyes on it. I'll see you Thursday.